Chuck said, I do not trust my sense of God's internal speaking to me on subjects where I am tremendously emotionally involved. He said, I don't trust that sense. It's just too easy for my own emotions to get in the way and for me to attribute things to God that are not God just because I'm so emotionally involved. And that's why I'm grateful for the written word. That's why I'm grateful for the Holy Spirit living in other people. I can bounce that off of them, and the truth, when it's investigated, will be the truth even when I can't hear. Comforting thing about God speaking to our hearts is that even if I'm confused as a sheep and I'm following the wrong voice, he's still my shepherd. He's able to come get me and say, you know that imitation that you were hearing? That wasn't me. He doesn't stop being my shepherd just because I'm confused. My favorite quote about following is from Oswald Chambers, and I love it. He says, we cannot call ourselves followers of Jesus if we are taking the initiative. Because followers follow. And you think, duh, that's a no-brainer. But do you know how rare that is? Especially in America? Because a lot of people have the idea that if you've got this really strong idea, go with it. In fact, I've heard people teach that if you're really into something, that's God. That's God's will, if you really want to do it. And I'm thinking, I'm going to have trouble with that unless you can show me that in the scripture, because I find out exactly the opposite is true. I find almost categorically every time a human had a very strong self-generated idea in which they were taking the initiative, God had to stop them to get his will done. And the examples are just replete. Scriptures are filled with examples of that problem. So what does it mean? If I'm a follower, by Oswald Chambers' definition, it means that Jesus is leading and I'm not. That means that he's not there to get my will done. I'm there to get his will done. I'm also kind of surprised how many times I've heard from people that say, well, God told me to do this, and the thing that they're telling me God told them to do is exactly contradictory to all the places in Scripture where God said, don't do this. 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 And then somebody says, well, God's telling me to do this. And I'm thinking, well, then he would have to be contradicting himself. Another reason that it's important to know Scripture, because God doesn't contradict himself. So we're just talking about the definition of being a follower here. If God is the leader and I'm the follower, that means that it's his wishes that I'm following and not the wishes of someone else. And that's, I think, why I like the fact that Matthew records that when James and John dropped everything and left their vocation, they also left their father. You have to understand, in that culture, you didn't get to choose what your livelihood would be. Your livelihood was the same as whatever your father's was. Very different culture than the one that we have today. In my ancestry, before my ancestors came from Scotland over to the United States, settled around the Carolinas and up into Kentucky, a large part of Scotland was Anglican, which was basically Catholic, except they didn't speak Latin, but some of the same exact structure, Church of Scotland, though they were rebelling against the rule of Rome, they pretty much operated the same way. And decisions were made, if you had four sons, one son would go in the military, one son would go into government, one son would go into whatever trade that the family had to carry that on, and one son would go into the ministry. And I forget what the exact order was. But you just decided, okay, this is a good way to make a living, so you'll go into the ministry. James and John, when they decided to follow Jesus, it meant that they had to leave the expectations of their father, as I said earlier. And that wasn't easy. Doing what you are interested in doing is not the same as doing God's will for you, necessarily. Notice these guys had to stop doing what they were doing, what they wanted to do, what they chose to do, in order to follow Jesus. I take that real seriously, because if God had gave me the choice, I wouldn't be here. I had to stop doing what I was doing and leave where I wanted to live in order to obey. I'm glad that I did, because I know I'm doing what I am supposed to do, even though it's been hard. I have heard people, actually I've heard people giving advice to other people in church, saying to young people, well, hey, just find something that you really like to do and do that. That's God's will for you. And I think, where in the world did you get that? I don't find that example or that precept at all. But once again, some of the people that I've heard say that don't believe that really God really does have a plan for each person and that he leads them personally. A couple of other things that I wrote down. In fact, one of them I just wrote down this morning after I got here, and I asked God to do that. I said, if I've left stuff out that needs to be said, not everybody dropped everything and left their vocation and became a disciple in the way that these guys did. Ponder that for a minute. There were a few people that Jesus called and told them to stay right where they were and to do what they had always been doing, but to do it for a different reason. To do what they were doing as a person who had a relationship with Jesus. And of course, all of that was different on that side of the cross. On this side of the cross, Jesus said, look, the Holy Spirit's living in you. You don't need a physical person standing there. He'll guide you into all the truth. But there were people, Zacchaeus, for instance, which I find kind of interesting, because Matthew was a tax collector and Zacchaeus was a tax collector. They were both cheats. They both made their living by ripping people off. Matthew comes to Jesus, as we're going to see in a few chapters, and Jesus says, stop your business and come and hang out with me. And Matthew did. He never went back to it, ever. Zacchaeus, Jesus had a different plan for him. He went right on being a tax collector, except Jesus said, you're going to have to work on your books. You're going to have to stop cheating people. And Zacchaeus invited Jesus to hang out with him, and Zacchaeus took Jesus right into his world. And Nicodemus is another person that I could think of that did not leave his vocation. He just took Jesus into his vocation. The difference between the guys who immediately left and the guys who stayed is one thing. They encountered Jesus and they did what Jesus told them to do. I know it sounds, I don't mean to insult your intelligence, but I am absolutely astonished in all the years of hanging around Christians how few Christians in our world have actually done that. If you ask them, why are you doing what you're doing? There's such a tiny percentage of them can say, I am doing what I'm doing because Jesus told me to do it. In fact, there are such a small percentage that if anybody actually lives that way, people think they're weird. People think they're fanatics. Legion is another person. Remember the guy that had so many demons that his name was Legion? Remember when Jesus cast all the demons out of him and he said, can I come hang out with you? And Jesus said, no. I want you to stay here. And I want you to tell everybody where you live what I did for you. The woman in Samaria, same deal. So here people, they had an encounter with Jesus. They didn't drop everything and follow him in the sense that they left their vocation and went where he went. Still there, we're still followers, not just believers, because they did what Jesus told them to do. Are you tracking with me? I know some of you, this may sound really foreign. It might even sound scary, because it's not widely taught in churches that Jesus wants to be that personally involved in your life, which I think is tragic, because that's where the real adventure is in life, is walking with Jesus. I used to be afraid of it myself until I got to know Jesus better. I was afraid that if I gave Jesus my life and let him do whatever he wanted to do, he would make me do something really, really not fun. And I think I just underestimated him. He has asked me to do things that were very difficult, I have to admit. But that's not the whole story either. He's also developed muscles and given me the power to do those difficult things. And he's developed me and worked to do it things. So you don't have to be afraid of what he's going to ask you to do. I just want to tell you one little story and then we'll continue on. I was invited a number of years ago, because I did a concert in Boise, Idaho. I was invited by someone who saw the advertisement and said, could you fly out a couple of days early? We'll pay for the change in your plane ticket. Could you fly out and speak at a men's retreat for Friday and Saturday? Then you'll be free to do your concert on Sunday. In fact, we'll get you a booking at a church on Sunday morning, and then you can do your concert Sunday night. And, you know, think of all the territory you can cover. So I said, well, I'll have to pray about it. And I asked the Lord, and I felt the Lord said, I have something specific for you to do, and this is for me. This isn't an idea that this guy had. This is an idea that I have for you. So I said, I called the guy back up, and he said, yeah, sure. So I went to this place. Idaho's kind of a ugly state in parts and a very beautiful state in other parts, and we started out in an ugly part and went to a very beautiful part of towards the Grand Tetons up in the mountains. And I found myself stuck in, and I'm sure they felt the same way, for a weekend in this mountain cabin with a whole bunch of potato farmers. And they looked at me like I was from another planet. And of course, I was. I was from a different world than they were from. They looked really strange to me, and I looked really strange to them. And I started panicking because of what God had given me to speak about that weekend was this very thing, about what it meant to be a follower and a disciple. And then I thought, these guys, some of them are fifth or sixth generation potato farmers. What I did find out in course of eating breakfast and lunch and dinner and worshiping together is that these are guys that really did love Jesus. And they found that out about me. This is a guy that really loves Jesus. And of course, that covers a multitude of differences, you know? It really does. And I challenged them that weekend, and I'm laying that before you now because I think it's exactly what God gave me to talk about today. I asked them, I said, why are you a potato farmer? What is the bottom line reason that you work so hard in such an inhospitable climate to grow a not very fun crop? Why are you doing this? Is it because your father did it? Is it because his father before him did it? Is it because Jesus, when you gave your life to him, said, I want you to be a potato farmer that loves me? And I said, it may not sound like a big deal, but it could be the difference between a fruitful life and just a regular life. So what I challenged them to do is I said, here's what I'm asking you to do, and I'll have to admit it takes guts. I took them to all the places in Scripture where people confronted Jesus with this very issue. What do you want me to do? And they ask it in the sense of, I will be willing to change at the drop of a hat if you tell me that this is not what you want me to do. I just want to know, what is your will? You want me to keep doing this? You want me to do this in a different way? Do you want me to drop this all together and do something else? It takes a tremendous amount of courage to approach God that way, and of course God knows our hearts, whether we really mean it or not. It will always make waves. It will scare your wife half to death if you even mention there is a possibility that we're going to stop doing the thing that we're doing and do something else if Jesus tells us otherwise. But see, she's got the same issue that you do. This is all what I told these guys. If she loves Jesus and she says she's a follower of Jesus, she has to ask herself the same question. Why is she doing what she's doing? Is she doing it because Jesus told her to? Or is she doing it because you told her to? And I said, I challenge you this weekend to be willing to drop everything. I said, it's a no-lose situation. Because one of two things is going to happen. You're going to discover that you've been doing the wrong thing, and you can find yourself doing God's best with your life. Or you're going to find out that you're doing exactly what Jesus wants you to do, and now you'll know that you're doing it because he told you to, and not because your dad told you to. You understand the difference? That is worth its weight in gold. But I have to be willing to change for it to be real. If I say, well, Lord, just show me what you want, and then in the back of my mind, I've already got these things that I'm not unwilling to do, you know what it was for me? Moving to Maine. Two things. Moving to Maine and becoming a pastor. I'll do anything. I'll travel to the ends of the earth, which I did. I'll give away half my income if you ask me to. I'll give away all of it. Please just don't ask me to go to Maine and don't ask me to become a pastor. Now, was God being an old meanie? Well, no. I just didn't know what was best. But he looked at my heart. He said, I know that you want to serve me. And you want to serve me more than you want to serve the wishes of other people. And when he let me ask him that question, these guys let him. It's interesting that I did hear from a few of these guys. One of these guys said, you know what? I have had this nagging feeling in the back of my head that I was not supposed to be doing what I'm doing. And he said, and I'm good at it. He said, I make more money than all the rest of these guys. I've got a great business going, but I've had this nagging feeling in the back of my mind. He said, when you said those words to me, it opened up a whole new world. And I said, Jesus, as for me and my house, we're going to serve you. What do you want us to do? And he said, I told my wife, and she said, you know, I've had this nagging feeling in the back of my mind that we're not supposed to be doing this. It was a fabulous thing to hear somebody with that kind of guts and that kind of a wife. I thought, man, that guy is going to make a huge difference in his world with that kind of commitment. Then that other guy said, you know what? We asked Lord, and he said, a couple of guys said, we were willing to lay everything down, and God told us, you just be a potato farmer that's a potato farmer because Jesus told him to. And he said, you can't believe the difference that makes in my day. He said, I get up and I go through the same routine, but now I'm doing it for a completely different reason. Now I'm realizing Jesus wants me to do this, and there's joy in it. Yeah, it's still potato farming. It's still kind of boring some days. But he said, I know I'm doing what God wants me to do. What's the crux of what I'm trying to say? We say, Lord, we belong to you. We believe in you. We believe you're the Son of God. We believe that you have a right to our allegiance. You are the Lord. And then we live our lives by other mandates other than what he wants us to do. And it's very easily, I'm gonna have to rephrase that, because it's not necessarily easy to come to a place where you say, I'll do whatever you want me to do, realizing that you may have to stop doing something that you really like and that you're really good at. But the more I know his heart, the more I don't have to be afraid of that. The people that confronted Jesus, and Jesus told them to stay where they were and do what they were doing for him. Every morning they woke up, had that wonderful assurance, I am where I'm supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And the guys who went off into that never-never land of Jesus just said to follow and drop everything, and we dropped everything, and we have no idea where this is going, those guys woke up with the same assurance. So you can't lose.